Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our current series of studies, Seven Methods of Bible Study. Already, we have considered the devotional method of Bible study, and in it we see the person of the Lord. Then we are concerned in the next broadcast with the doctrinal studies of the Scriptures, and then we see the principles of the Lord. Then we saw how practical the Bible is, and the practical studies of the Bible for meet our everyday needs. We see the provisions of the Lord. And we, on our last broadcast, considered the historical study of the Scriptures. The Scriptures are a book of history. There's much history in the Scriptures. And in this, we see the mercies of the Lord displayed in the race of men. And we see it there because of the fact that it's history. And God shows His goodness. Today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider the magnification of the Lord through typical studies. What do we mean by typical studies? Well, there's an old saying, coming events cast their shadows before. Now, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament is concealed. But in the Old Testament and the New Testament is revealed. Now, in the matter of types, the Old Testament gives us the pictures, the New Testament gives us the reality. There is the type and the antitype. The type is a type because it's typical. It reminds us of what is true on a grander scale that's revealed in the New Testament. Now, for instance, we can say that Joseph was a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, and indeed he was. I think probably Joseph was the most wonderful person in the Old Testament. Outside of Abraham, we don't need to draw our comparisons, do we? Joseph was a wonderful person. We'll say that of him. Now, he was... why is he a type of Christ? He's typical. He displays the same grace. He displays the same characteristics that Christ does. He's typical of Christ. And that's why we call it typical studies. For instance, Joseph and in regard to Joseph and our Lord Jesus Christ. What makes them similar? Well, Joseph and Christ were both loved of their fathers, and it stated so. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, His only begotten. Joseph was the favorite son of his father. All right? Both were distinguished by visible glory. Jacob made a coat of many colors for Joseph that made his brethren jealous. Christ, in the first chapter and the second chapter of Colossians, all the glories of the Godhead were pleased to dwell in Christ. He was the visible manifestations of the glories of God. They were alike in that characteristic. Both were hated of their brethren. They hated Joseph, and they hated the Lord Jesus Christ. They thought Him as an upstart. They expected their Messiah to come in pomp and glory. And here this Galilean, this man from Nazareth, claimed to be the Messiah. They hated Him for it. They wouldn't believe His miracles. They didn't see Him in Him, God manifest in human flesh. They didn't see it at all. And so we have them both hated of their brethren, both sought for their brethren. We read in the 37th chapter of Genesis that Jacob one day sent Joseph out to see how his brethren were doing. They were out feeding their flocks, and they'd gone some distance from home. Well, Joseph was sent out, and he found his brethren in Dothan. And they said, "Here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him. Let's kill him." Well, they didn't quite do that. All right. They hated Christ, but Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He was speaking about a Jewish man, a publican, when He said it. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Both were sold. Joseph was sold. Reuben suggested that they sell him into the hand of the Midianites. There were some Midianites coming. They were headed down for Egypt. He said, let's don't kill him. Let's sell him. Just imagine, if you please. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver. The Lord was sold for 30 pieces of silver. By whom? A Jewish man. Judas Iscariot. Now we begin to see why one is typical of the other. Both were raised to places of power. Joseph in Egypt and Christ at the heavenly throne today. He was raised from the dead, and he's given a place of power, and he's going to come and reign on this earth. Both were kind to those who hated them. Both were, if you please. Joseph revealed himself to his brethren. They were afraid of him. They said that was some 17, or some 13 or 14 years after they had sold him into Egypt. They didn't recognize him. They were afraid of him when they found out who he was. But they had no reason to be afraid of him. Joseph loved them. He threw his arms around them and wept on them. The Lord Jesus Christ treated those brethren who hated him just the same way. He says, Father, forgive them. And these words are from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Both forgave their brethren. Both cared for their brethren and exalted them to positions of glory. And that was true in Egypt, and it's going to be true in the millennial kingdom. The Jews are going to be the blessing of the earth in that millennial kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. His 12 apostles, all Jews, if you please, are going to rule in that coming area. All right. Now let's talk about the pictures themselves. Now Christ and his church is pictured in the Old Testament. Now let's see this typical picture that magnifies our Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many types in the Old Testament that they magnify Christ. We didn't realize that all these things are true about him. Let's read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man that he should be alone. I will make in him a helpmeet for him. And then down in verse 21 we read, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto him, brought her unto the man. Adam said, this is now a bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of a man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be of one flesh. Now I want to read the New Testament, Paul's comment on the church, and see if you can see how they're typical. See what is true of one is true of the other. In Ephesians chapter 5, a familiar portion, often read at weddings, here it is. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ was the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Eve was created a helpmate. Okay. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as also Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth his himself. And no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are a member of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, do you remember that? Do you remember that now in the book of Genesis, where a rib was taken from the side of Adam, and that rib was placed, out of that rib, God made a woman, and he brought her to him. Now, he didn't take the bone out of her, out of his head. The woman was not to dominate the man. He didn't take the bone out of the foot Adam was not to trample on his wife. He took a bone from the rib cage close to his heart. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Beautiful pictures in the Old Testament. Typical. They give us a hint. The reality is found in the New Testament. But here we have a hint of the things that are to come, and they're both typical. They have characteristics that are similar. Christ, of course, and his church on a grander scale than Adam and Eve. Now we can go to other parts of the scripture. The Levitical offerings are a type of Christ. We read in Leviticus chapter 1, and all we read about there, particularly the burnt offering. Now, just listen as I read, if you please. And the Lord called unto Moses, and the Lord spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, speaking unto the children of Israel, saying unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring of your offering of the cattle of the herds. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. Now let me say that every bit of that offering, the burnt offering, was burnt on the altar. What does that mean? It means that there are parts of Christ that only God can understand. We are outside of the picture in the burnt offering. It was the most glorious offering of all. But there are things and glories that Christ, that God can see in Christ, that we will never be able to see. We just don't have the omniscience, the intelligence of God. All right, then the next offering was the meal offering. The meal offering was made out of flour. Christ himself said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Christ compares himself to the corn of wheat, and he died, and it has brought forth much fruit to the glory of God. Now that speaks of the humility of Christ. We can understand that. The priests ate that offering. They could appreciate it. Now the peace offering was offered, and both the peace offering had a part for God and a part for man. Part of it was burned on the altar. The shoulder and the wave breast were preserved for Adam, rather for the priest, Aaron, is what I'm trying to say. They were preserved for Aaron and his sons. We feed on the shoulder, the power of Christ. We feed on his love. That love is going to see us into glory. Our Father, today we thank you for the beautiful pictures of Christ. In the Old Testament, we could not possibly expound them all. But in future studies, may we look for them. We pray in Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.